going on than you would ever imagine. And I said, I can only tell you that because I'm in his shoes, and you have no idea how beat up he got yesterday at church. And then you called him this morning, and I know you wish that he was so spiritual, that he was waiting for your phone call, but unfortunately we're not, and that's the truth. And but to see how God has used him, and to get to hear my brothers and hear what they say. And I will tell you, for all the negative news surrounding churches and the church world and independent Baptist churches, I'm amazed that both my brothers have been to hundreds and hundreds of local New Testament independent Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing Baptist churches, and they seem to think there's a lot of them that are very healthy, that are reproducing, that are multiplying, that are discipling, that are grace-filled, that love God, that love people, that are kind, that are genuine, that are authentic. And I just want to tell you, I don't think we're near as bad as what our enemies would say we are. Amen. So we praise the Lord for his goodness and grace. Luke chapter 14, I would like to share with you just a few things from God's word this morning. The context is discipleship, and the Lord is addressing a great multitude that is following him. They're following him because he's performing miracles. They're following him because he's providing meals, and they're following him because he's preaching messages like they've never heard. But there's many of them that were willing to follow him for the meals and for the miracles and for the messages, but they wasn't following him because of who he was. And so he turns and he addresses the multitudes in verse 25 of Luke chapter 14. The Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." And so the Lord is giving the conditions for discipleship. He's issuing a call for discipleship. And he explains in verse number 27 that along with following him, there's a cross to bear. Verse 27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So two times he gives conditions, 26, 27, on what will allow you to be his disciple. Verse 28, he gives two illustrations about what he's trying to get across to the multitudes. He says in verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" I'd like you to pay particular attention to the word finish. Verse 29, he says, "Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to do what?" Three times Christ used the word finish. In context of us following him, in context of discipleship, he gives another analogy, another example, another illustration about the conditions and the call for discipleship. He says in verse 31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, where whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." In our text, Christ is issuing a call for discipleship. He's explaining the conditions for discipleship. And in this call, and with these conditions, he explains to them that they should be willing to forsake all, faithfully follow him, and finish what they started. Because Christ wants them to know, before they begin following him, they should have the end in mind. Because between the time we begin to follow him and when we end following him,
will be actually the time in which their discipleship will be put to the test, and they will really be found out whether or not they are followers of Jesus Christ. If you have yielded to the Lord, if you have yielded to preach His gospel, if you have yielded to carry His gospel to the ends of the earth, or in the local setting of the New Testament church here in America, that means tomorrow you will wake up and you will yield yourself again. And the next day you will yield yourself again. And the next day you will yield yourself again. We are called to be a living sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful, He is a faithful Savior. He is a faithful Lord, and He is a faithful leader. All the way my Savior leadeth me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? What the Lord wants His disciples to know, what He wants all of us to know, is if we start with Him, He wants us to finish with Him. I remind you that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It did take Him only a week to make the sun and the moon and the stars, but He's still working on us. The good news is He will continue to work on us so that He can continue to work with us and work through us until we meet Him face to face in glory one day. I want you to notice, if you would please, from this text concerning the word finish. It is our Lord's desire that we finish the race that is set before us. It is our Lord's desire that we finish following Him faithfully to the end. I want you to notice in verse number 28 that our Lord spake of our sufficiency for finishing. He says in verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" And so what the Lord was saying concerning building a tower, you know full well that if you're going to do a building project, that you need to research all the resources that is needed to establish a foundation, erect the walls, and complete a building. And the Lord says to His disciples, before you ever lay the foundation, erect the walls, or build the building, you make sure that you have the resources. You make sure that you have what is sufficient to fulfill and to finish the task that you set out to do. Verse 28, our Lord speaks of the sufficiency for finishing. That word sufficient means adequate provision or supply. I just want you to know that in the race that God has called us to run, in the work that God has called us to do, we have a sufficiency, and that sufficiency is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. By the way, if you've been in ministry more than a day, you'll find out there's not a whole lot in you that can help anybody. It don't take you long to figure out that the whole pop star and the whole glamour and the whole glory and the whole glitz that you see surrounding modern Christianity is a facade. It's fake. It's not real. It don't take you long to find out if you're not in the work of God for the glory of God and the love of Jesus Christ, you won't be in there long. I'm glad to tell you right now, the reason that you and I can stay, and the reason that you and I can sustain, and the reason that you and I can finish is because we've got a God who is sufficient. We've got a God who is our resource. He supplies every need according to His riches in glory, and He's rich in glory. Oh, He says, I want you to consider our sufficiency for finishing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. When we consider running the Christian race, I find it a daunting matter to walk with God daily. I find it a daunting matter to live consistently and steadfastly for my Savior. I find it a daunting matter to be married, have children, want to raise them in a corrupt society. I find it a daunting task to be a pastor of a New Testament church in the Western world. And I just want you to know, there's been more days than one, being a fact. I didn't have to go to Ireland or wherever else you said to want to resign every Monday. It just don't take long to figure out. You're not hot stuff. You'll never be hot stuff. That you are a limited, finite resource. That walking with God and the work of God is bigger than you. So Jesus turns and says to these that could be candidates for discipleship. He says to them, you need to consider the sufficiency for finishing before you ever start a task. Do you know what he was saying to them? If you follow me, I am sufficient for you to finish what you start. And I don't know much, but I am absolutely convinced of this. We have a God, truly, truly, who is sufficient for all we ever need to be all he ever desires for us to be and to do all he ever desires us to do. Now, I know some of you are on deputation, some of you, and quite frankly, I was thrilled and excited to see those of you that have been in faithful Christian service for 20, 30, 40 years. But I know you're going to be told by the mission board, by your pastor, by others that want to encourage you, things are going to be hard, things are going to be tough. They're going to condition your mind. The Bible says in Peter, arm your mind, prepare yourself to suffer. I don't know how to explain to you what I'm going to try to explain to you right here. It don't matter who tells you what until you feel the pressure and the pain of what you're involved in being so much bigger than you. You can't even begin to experience the sufficiency of God. I will tell you, not by my experience, but vicariously through the experience of another. If you are overwhelmed by deputation, my older brother in Egypt, in the midst of a Muslim country, says the easiest thing he's ever done so far, I'm just trying to be an encouragement, is deal with the American pastor and the American church. He said that's the easiest thing he's done. And I thought, well, I don't know how many people you need to tell that to, but I'm sharing it with all of you today. Why? Because this, let me tell you something. You'll hear people say you don't need to be proud. I am still trying to figure out how you can be in ministry and be proud. I think the only thing, if you've got a pride problem, take a church. It won't take you long. You will absolutely be convinced you are worthless, not just because people tell you that, but because you feel that way. Amen? I can't tell you how many times I've walked around a gravel parking lot. I can't tell you how many times I've walked outside of church. I can't tell you how many times I've paced back and forth in a parking lot because my heart and mind was so overwhelmed and I felt like the task was so much greater and the burden was so much heavier and the problems were so much bigger than anything I could ever handle or ever solve or ever take care of. And I just want you to understand right now, as sure as I'm standing on 2 feet behind this pulpit this morning, that we've got God. Just don't preach it. I'm telling you, it's better than just for times like these to open his word and say it. I want you to know that really and truthfully, Christ is all we need, and in Christ we have all. He is our wisdom.
redemption. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is our strength. He is our Savior. I want you to know that in Jesus Christ is everything that you and I need to be all God wants us to be and to do all God wants us to do. Our sufficiency for finishing is found in Jesus Christ. Verse 29, and quickly, Jesus speaks of our stopping before we finish. And here's a part that scares me greatly. We're going to have to learn to live our lives on guard. Paul said, I've learned both how to be abased and to abound. You can backslide in blessing as easy as you can in the midst of tribulation. There's no safe place for the believer but in Christ. Good thing he's bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, and we're made one spirit in him. And we're in him in heaven while he's brought heaven to us here below. The only safe place, the only place of refuge we'll find is Jesus Christ. I am perplexed, scared. I've rolled around on the floor, cried and moaned because people that I thought were, as you said, heroes. I'm just puzzled. My mind is blown. I want to finish the race God has called me to run. I want to finish the ministry I've received of the Lord. I want to fulfill it and finish it and go home and be with him. Paul lived on this planet according to his own words and straight betwixt two. Let me explain to you what he meant by that. He meant by that the only thing keeping me on earth is the will of God. I can say when the only love that is holding us here below is the love of God, then we're probably in the will of God. Amen? And I have seen what I have fought are people. Where are they? What has happened? That is just a blunt reminder. It could be you, and it could be me. By the way, I'll tell you now, I fear myself more than I do the devil. And I fear myself more than I do anybody I pastor. Why? I'll tell you why. Because what I've seen others that I thought would never do something outlandish or wrong do. You think, how? How is that reconcilable? How could that occur? So our Lord speaks and he says, You need to finish. You can finish. I'm your sufficiency for finishing. But then I want you to notice what he says about stopping before we finish. He says in verse number 29, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to what? Mock him. The foundation has been laid. Yet, there's nothing built on it. You've announced a call of God on your life. Don't worry about being the biggest, the best, the brightest. That's Americanism, stupidity that makes all of us feel like we're worthless infidels when it comes to the work of God because we're never moving as quick as somebody else or growing as fast as somebody else or as big as somebody else. And so therefore we're worthless. No, we're not. Being a fact, one of the greater days of your life, the greatest, no doubt, is the day you're born again. One of the greater days of your life will be when you learn the greatest thing you can do is simply abide in Jesus Christ, grow in his grace and knowledge, work, 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 for the night is coming when no man shall work. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep our eyes on him, our hearts set toward him, and understand, are you listening? Understand that every bad thing you've had happen. You say, well, Brother Justin, we've had a down Sunday. So did 999 other Baptist pastors that Sunday. Amen?
He's warning them. The foundation is laid, but if you stop, you will be mocked.
I want to tell you something. I think there should be a healthy measure of fear inside of every one of us, a failure, a falling, and a fainting. I really do. I think we should live with a measure, a healthy measure, a healthy fear of fainting, of failing, of falling, of stopping. God has begun a good work in you. You know, what a shame. I listened to Pastor, I keep referring to you as Pastor. I was listening to Brother Scott Caudill talk about the work of the Lord that he has done. But you know what? If I'm out of God's work next year, we won't be having that conversation. Being a fact, you would never even mention the work that was in at Cloverleaf. More than likely, you'd just say, well, Brother Gasaway, there he is. He's another one.
Isn't that the case? Is there not a concern in your heart that God has begun a good work in you? No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. There is a foundation laid in Him, but we're to build on that foundation. And if we stop short of following Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength all the days of our life, there will be those that look and say, He stopped. He stopped. Yet God was sufficient. He stopped. Yet God was able. Are you with me? You will and you are going to feel like stopping at some point. We're not hippies. We're not singing hooked on a feeling. We're saints and we're singing living by faith. In Jesus above. Now, I'm doing my best to level and encourage. I've listened on the phone. And my older brother, if you've met him, he is a discreet individual. And he is a militant individual. I mean, he is just so work-oriented, process-oriented, grind-oriented. But I've listened to him, and he never uses names. He'll never talk about the actual specific situation. But I've listened to him lament as a vast majority of promising young missionaries like him when they were on deputation, raised their support, got to their field, and are already home. Now I've listened to him say, another one's gone. Another one's went back. And he always says the same thing. The letters are the same. They're always written the same. It's never, God led me here, God led me away. It's these extenuating factors. Somebody should tell all of us those extenuating factors will follow you all the days of your life. And if you don't follow the Lord for who He is, where you are, because that's where He has led you and called you, then you won't follow Him. How many of y'all heard of the show House Hunters International? How many of you are married? Okay. House Hunters International is that people will buy a home in another country all over the globe. All over the globe. And they'll move there, Brother Caudill, for a job. For a job. I'm not talking about the rich people retiring and going and buying an island. I'm talking about people that's moving to France because they got a job in France. And they're not living in a luxury resort. They're moving to France because they got a job in France. They're going to go earn a living there, and they're leaving everybody they know for a job. I watch Americans do it. I watch Americans sell their soul every single day for a job. Amen? I want y'all to know, y'all ain't leaving for a job. Y'all are leaving for Jesus. He's better than a job. And so when your job for Him gets tough,
remember what they were singing. Because there's people there that are needing to hear what we get to hear all the time. As missionaries, I know it grieves you to lose support because our churches are turning over pastors at the average rate of about every 3 years a new pastor's in, and you lose support. I've heard my brother talk about this. So I know you guys want us to be faithful. You want us to be there. You don't want us to leave every time something doesn't go exactly the way we want. The Lord reminds us, I'm your sufficiency, you can finish. The Lord reminds us, the foundation is laid, build thereon. If you don't, if you stop soon, if you stop short, there'll be those that mock you. All of us in here are on the same team. We're all on the same side. We're all going the same direction. We're all here with the same prerogative and priority. And that priority is the glory of God through the redemptive person of Jesus Christ and the redemptive purpose of Jesus Christ. And together we are to labor. You need to be faithful. I need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to continue so that we can finish. Our sufficiency for finishing, our stopping short of finishing. And then finally and lastly, the shame of not finishing. Listen what the Bible says in verse 30, Christ speaks of. He says, verse 29, lest happily after he hath laid the foundations, not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to what? If we don't finish, that will be the most prominent thing that is remembered of us. I understand that the message that I brought and bring is one of great simplicity. But if we do not finish following Jesus Christ, if we don't finish, who will finish? We can. We should. But will we finish? Maybe you're thinking as you listen to this message, oh, I left the field early, I'm a failure. Nope. Have you stopped following Jesus? Let me be less assignment oriented and more, are you still following Christ? I've been moved in the pastorate. That was an experience me and my wife did not anticipate. Funny thing about God, all the times I'd love for him to move me, he didn't. Not that I ever at any time looked for another church. I didn't. Never, not one time. I was content with Christ and where he had me. But there were times I wanted to quit. And then, you know, when you're on the good side of things, everything's going great, the Lord's really giving you momentum, giving the ministry momentum, and then he just, out of nowhere, gets you, carries you somewhere else. I understand that could be exactly your experience. Or maybe it's not. Maybe you didn't exactly see things clearly and got sidetracked, and maybe you've stopped short on an assignment. Here's an amazing thing about God. He is so gracious, so amazing, so wonderful, that if you're still following him, he is going to put you back in the fight somewhere. Amen. The key to finishing. Amen. I know this thing will blow your mind. The key to finishing is simply following Jesus. Day by day, with each passing moment. I had a whole lot more scripture to look at and quote, but let me say this. There have been times in my short little life and short time of pastoring that I could not go at the same pace that I did at other times. Emotionally, I couldn't. Spiritually, I couldn't. Physically, I couldn't. When you're like that, don't live under the pressure of some pariah in America that wears skinny jeans. God help them. Couldn't they have picked something else to wear? Don't live under that pressure. No. Don't do that. You know what you need to do? Here's what you need to do. You need to wake up, love the Lord, love your wife, love your kids, love his word, love his church. Slow down, Refocus. Let him help you. Let him heal you. But don't stop following him. And he'll get you strong. And he'll nurture you and he'll nourish you. And he'll remind you again how weak you are, how desperately we need him. We've got to learn how to be abased and abound and run the race in both cases. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name.